welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
So we're going to go ahead and take a look at a passage of Scripture. And these are some words that Jesus spoke to his disciples really shortly before going to the cross, kind of preparing their hearts for things that were to come. And you'll notice that I've highlighted a certain word in here that I hope will kind of bring out where we're going to go this morning. And these are just a couple passages from John 16. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Helper, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Now, Jesus is talking about the fact that he's getting ready to go. And he's giving him a heads up that he's going to go, but he's telling him, it's to your advantage that I go. That had to be pretty hard to believe at the time, that there could be something better, more advantageous than having Jesus right there present with them. And yet he said, it's to your advantage that I go. Now, if you kind of think about this in a sense that of what we might be familiar with as far as technology goes, there may be a way for our minds to grasp this. Because if you think about this, Jesus, he's God in the flesh, but yet he is in the flesh. He's occupying one space at one time. So if John wants to ask Jesus a question, but Peter is talking to Jesus, John has to wait until Peter's done before he can ask his question. All right? He's one person in one place. And so he's telling them that it's going to actually be better for you that I go, because I'm going to give you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And we're going to come back to this, but we're going to delve a little bit into what that is. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. The Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." This is the Amplified. "I'm telling you that nothing but the truth, that when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." That word in the Greek is paraclete for helper. He's referring to the Holy Spirit. But you can see all these facets, all these dimensions of the Holy Spirit, all the different ways that the Holy Spirit would be a helper to us. Comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. These are just different ways the Holy Spirit was going to come alongside and help us. Now, again, kind of bringing it back to a technology era, if you kind of lived through the early internet days of the 90s, you remember that you had something called dial-up, where you had to dial up. I know some of you guys remember that, and you could hear that screechy, almost like fingernails on a chalkboard sound. But that was good, because that meant you were connected. That meant you had access. And so you would dial up, and you'd have different, at the time, was baud rates, and, you know, 9600. It was really cool. And pretty soon, you were just trying to get these higher speeds. But the thing about the internet is, and you had your computer, is everybody had to wait their turn to get on the internet. You had to wait till somebody got off the PC so you could get on the PC to get on the internet. You know? And then pretty soon, as technology began to evolve, something changed. All of a sudden, we went from internet, from this hardwire internet, to wireless internet. And now you've got devices and phones, and we're mobile. And all of a sudden, instead of having to stand in line at the family PC to wait your turn to get on the internet, now you've got wireless mobile devices where you can directly communicate without having to wait your turn. We can understand that from a technology standpoint, that there's advantages. It's better. What Jesus was basically saying is, this walk with me, this supernatural counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor walk that you have with me right now is about to get better when I go away. You're no longer going to be hardwired to just me waiting your turn to be with me. He said, I'm going to send him to you to be in close fellowship with you, in you. And so that's where we see the power of the Holy Spirit. He is going to be with us. He said, he will tell you things to come. He will take of mine and he will declare it unto you. In other words, he is going to be with you. He is going to be in you. Now, you see he, his, him, all these highlighted. What I just want to bring out this morning, and this is where we're going to go with this morning, because I think a lot of us kind of know this. We already kind of have a general sense of this, but we got to recover this ground for where we want to go. We're going to go a little deeper. He says, I'll send him, he. You can see Jesus referring to the Holy Spirit as a person in these pronouns. Now, in the Spirit, technically, there's neither male nor female. But through these pronouns, you see a personhood. You see the person of the Holy Spirit coming through. He, him. He is a person. Sometimes when we think of the Holy Spirit, we can kind of conflate it with some different sci-fi ideas of power in a way. Think of the old Star Wars, concept. You know, use the Force, Luke. The Force, the power, the good side, the Force. Well, is the Holy Spirit powerful? Is he good? Yes. But the Holy Spirit is not a force. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is not a presence. He's a person. He's not a feeling. He's a person like you. You're not a feeling. You're not a presence. You're a person who has feelings. You're a person who carries a presence. You're a person, but you're a person. The person of the Holy Spirit has been sent to live on the inside of you. This morning, I want to talk very specifically about minister along the lines of walking with the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, he has those powerful dimensions. He is a counselor. He's an advocate. He's a standby. He's an intercessor. And he can do those things. And we will look at how those things interwork in our lives. But we're going to do it from the perspective of seeing and understanding the person of the Holy Spirit. When God sent the Holy Spirit to us, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us, God the Holy Spirit, when God the Son sent God the Holy Spirit to us, he sent us the person of the Holy Spirit. This is really, really important. And we're going to take a look at it. I'm just believing, Father, I just pray that by the power of your Spirit, that you just give us eyes to see the reality of the person of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us today. I just pray that you will just flood our eyes, that we would see clearly that we are not alone ever again, Father. We thank you for the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit today, as we listen to your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We're going to take a look. There's the ministries of the person of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of presence, okay? Jesus said, I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So, the first aspect of walking with the Holy Spirit is to realize that he is in us. Now, you'll notice Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper, another advocate. Another is another just like. It would be another just like me. You're going to have another helper. You're going to have another one. It's to your advantage that I go away, because I'm going to pray that you have another helper who's going to abide with you forever. When you look at the ministry of Jesus and you look at how he was just there with him, he was basically saying, when I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, it's going to be like, in the same way you're walking with me right now, you're going to be walking with the person of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I want you to see that. You're not going to walk with a feeling or with a presence. You're going to walk with the person of the Holy Spirit. And how real is this truth that the Holy Spirit lives in us? We see Paul getting it across to us in multiple ways. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Now, this is where I'm just trusting that we're going to see some things. Because if you could imagine Jesus just being with you, walking with him, Jesus is saying, it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come. Another helper, another one like myself to walk alongside of you. Now, I preach a lot on the power of the Holy Spirit. I preach a lot on walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the strength of the Spirit, these attributes of the Spirit. But this morning, I want us to take a good look at the person of the Holy Spirit. There's a person behind that strength, behind that power, the person of the Holy Spirit. What are we talking about? We're talking about the ministry of presence. In other words, it's not that I've got power in me, I got strength in me, I've got a person with me. You know, sometimes when you go through hard times and you're going through things, there is something simply called a ministry of comfort. Just having somebody there, somebody who's just there with you. You're not looking for a theological band-aid to make sense out of everything in the moment. You just want sometimes an arm around you that you just sense, I'm with you, and I love you, and I'm for you. Again, a lot of times we think that about God. God is with me, God loves me, God is for me. Oh yeah, and I have the Holy Spirit in me too. Those things are all true, but this morning, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit is for you. The presence, the person of the Holy Spirit is in you. That's amazing. That I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what he can do to me. Now, when we think about some of the divine attributes of God, we can think about the fact that, you know, he is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. But what we're looking at this morning is the fact that he's omnipresent. He's omnipresent. He not only has the ability to be able to do and to know, he has the ability to be everywhere present. What Jesus said when he said, I'm gonna pray that the Holy Spirit, the helper, is going to come, he unleashed his omnipresent ability, divine attribute, and chose to live on the inside of each one of us. What does that mean? It means the person of the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, but you are not an item on his to-do list. You are not a box he has to check. In other words, okay, I got to take care of this person and that person. Oh, yeah, and then I add, what was that you prayed about? No, I'm not something that the Holy Spirit has to take care of. He is fully present in me. His person, divine attribute of God. I can't do it. You can't do it. God can. God can be 100% present. In other words, whether he has my attention or not, I have his attention all the time. He is present in me. Aware. Sometimes I think, oh, remember when the disciples were talking to Jesus just in some of these parting words, and Jesus was always talking about the Father in me. He does the work. It's the Father. I say what I hear the Father say. I do what I see the Father do. And the disciples are saying, oh, Jesus, just show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you and still you don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was a perfect representation of the Father. And a lot of times we can kind of be that same way. Oh, if I could just see Jesus. I just want to see Jesus. And the Holy Spirit would be saying, have I been so long with you, Ed? And still you don't know me. The presence of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, he is representing Jesus perfectly on the inside of me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is a big deal. Sometimes we can think of the Old Testament example of King David. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now, when you think of King David, you know, in the Old Testament, you had the prophet, the priest, and the king. They had the power of the Holy Spirit with them in a supernatural way. In these last days, God has poured out his Spirit on all flesh. We all have the Holy Spirit. This is one of the things that makes this new covenant unique, powerful. No matter where we go, no matter where we are, we have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Sometimes when you're feeling down, when you're feeling lonely, when you're maybe you've missed it, something like that, it's important to realize the Spirit of God is not a condemning spirit. He won't condemn you. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you, he's the one that's going to remind you. He's going to say, you know what? There's a throne of grace. It's okay. It's not over. God loves you. And a lot of times, even as we're worshiping the Lord, we'll kind of get stirred up and we'll remember some of these things and say, yes, all right, praise God. You know, if somebody's, you know, in a football game and they drop a pass in the end zone, they don't need somebody to say, what did you do? Why did you drop the pass? You're supposed to catch the pass. No, that's condemning. They already know that. And when we miss it, we already know that we missed it, all right? We know we made a mistake. We know that. The Holy Spirit isn't there to pile on and to boo and to shame us and condemn us. The Holy Spirit is there to say, it's okay. It's not too late. You can go back to the throne of grace. The Holy Spirit is going to be right there to help you, to lead you back to a place of forgiveness and grace. He's there with you. You know, in recent days, probably 20 years ago, the modern... Yeah, you can feel your age after a while, but they did a remake of The Lord of the Rings, you know, back in the early 2000s, and that's kind of when I got more introduced to it. But one of the characters that I thought of is you got Frodo, who's the little, if you don't know it, the story of it, the little halfling who has to bring the hobbit that has to bring this ring, this evil ring, to Mordor for its destruction. The problem with it is that, you know, it seemed like a simple task. Just bring this evil ring to Mordor where it was created for its destruction, and then we can banish this evil force from the earth. The problem with it is it's so corrupting, nobody can carry it without being corrupted by it. And so Frodo is this little, very, you know, weak little creature. All these powerful creatures can't handle it, but this little weak creature, Frodo, can. And so he's got the task of having to get this thing to Mordor. All the other powerful, you know, the men, the elves, the different things like that, will be there to protect him as he's bringing it, but they can't carry it, you know. And so he's got this task. But he has this little traveling companion, Samwise Gamgee, I think. And when you watch the movie and you watch the things that are going, he's going through, you've got this little traveling companion who's with him, who's for him, who's cheering him on. And when you think of, you know, and he's really a big part of the story. You know, in fact, when they get kind of, you know, toward the end of the movie, you know, Sam is saying, man, I'd really like to hear the story of Frodo and the ring. I bet they're going to write books about this someday. And Frodo's like, man, I want to hear about Sam, how he helped Frodo. He said, Frodo wouldn't have gotten very far without Sam. When you're walking with God and you have the power of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit, and you know him as a person, you know that you're here today because the power of the Holy Spirit has helped you. You know that you're here today because the presence of the Holy Spirit has picked you up, has reminded you of things, has strengthened you, has comforted you. There's a ministry of presence of the Holy Spirit that is with us and for us. Another powerful ministry of the presence of the Holy Spirit is the ministry of guidance. He said, I have many things to say to you. You can't bear them now. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak. He'll tell you things to come. He'll glorify me. He'll take of what is mine and declare it to you. This is such an amazing truth. You know, when Jesus said, when he was on the earth, he said, I just say what I hear the Father say. I do what I see the Father do. That's what we were saying to the disciples. Show us the Father. Well, If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm just saying what the Father's showing me to say. I'm doing what the Father's showing me to do. When you're getting things by the Holy Spirit, you know who you're getting those from? The Lord Jesus Christ. Your Lord is through the power of the Holy Spirit, showing you things to come. The Holy Spirit has taken those things from the Lord, your Lord, and he's showing them unto you. But Jesus is with you right now. And this is where it's important to understand, because there is a series, you know, where things are going to happen. Someday you're going to see Jesus face to face. It's going to happen. The one who died for you, you're going to see him. You're going to be worshiping at his throne. You know, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. You're going to see him. That's going to happen someday. But right now, the Holy Spirit is in you. You're going to see Jesus face to face in the future, but the Holy Spirit is now. He is present with you right now. This is your experience in God, the presence of the Spirit of God, showing you, leading you, guiding you into things that are to come. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you. He is going to show you a lot of times things to do and things, you know, what to do next. A lot of times the way the Holy Spirit will guide you as he's in you, of course, we realize that he's a person, he's in us, but many times the way that you pick up on the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit is by the peace of God. You will just sense the peace of God in a direction, and sometimes you'll go another direction and yikes, it's just nope, there's just no peace, there's no grace there. You know, we'd play the old hot and cold game with our kids on Easter, trying to find their Easter basket. If they're getting close, they're getting warmer, warmer, warmer. They're going in the wrong directions, colder, colder. You know, and many times when you're pursuing things with the Holy Spirit, it's like you begin to get peace, you begin to get grace, you begin to get revelation as you begin to go in a direction. The Holy Spirit will begin to show you, begin to guide you into all truth. And so as we think about how the Holy Spirit leads, how the Holy Spirit guides, a lot of times what he'll do is he's going to guide you by his word, but he's going to guide you with peace. He's going to show you things to come. These are some prayers that we can pray specifically as it relates to that. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. The Holy Spirit will unfold truth. He will show us things to come. He'll show us what to do next. Now, I want to say this because here is just kind of real life truth. A lot of times when we're trusting God, he will show us what we need, all right? We're trying to sometimes figure out how to get things done. God will show us what we need to know next, what we need to do next. And sometimes, I've heard it put this way, sometimes we miss the supernatural leading of the Holy Spirit because we're looking for the spectacular. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you. He's going to give you impressions in your heart. Yeah, he's a person. Yeah, he's really here. But how does that work in real life? How does that register? There's peace, but there are thoughts, there are impressions that the Holy Spirit will give you to go in different directions. I remember when I was a student in Bible school, we had just gotten there, and I had had a problem with my car. It was leaking oil, and it seemed like I was always having problems with my car. And one day I, you know, got in, you know, looked under my car, and sure enough, there was a puddle of oil. And so I just thought, my goodness, I called a friend of mine who was kind of mechanically inclined, and we had a guy look at it, and he thought, yep, it's going to have to get a new oil pan. It's, you know, $480 job, and, you know, for a kid who's going to Bible school, that's like thousands of dollars. And so I was thinking, I just don't know what to do. I just prayed. I said, Lord, show me what to do next here. Show me what to do. And I remember I was just coming out of church. It was like a Sunday morning. My car's, you know, still in the student housing parking lot, dripping oil. And all of a sudden, I get this word in my mind, rubber bands. I thought, rubber bands? What does rubber bands have to do with anything? I need $480. And I had a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and all of a sudden I saw the bolt that was dripping oil, rubber bands around it. I could put rubber bands around it to stop it. And I thought, I don't know anything about cars or engines, no, not mechanically minded at all. And I thought, you know, that just might work. And so I went to the little get and go across the way at the time, and it was just like about a dollar and a half of rubber bands. I got it, and I just began to put the little rubber band on, and you know, still a little bit of drip, but I, you know, had a little ball of rubber bands. And sure enough, it stopped it, and it wasn't leaking oil. Now, as I was going, you know, those rubber bands would start to break, and I have to put some fresh rubber bands around there, all right? But again, for a kid going to Bible school, you know, a buck and a half rubber bands, that was a good solution for me. And I remember I was at work and I was just talking to a guy about it and just saying, yeah, so got an oil leak with my car. And I said, but I was able to put these rubber bands on there and it seems to be working. He laughed at me. He said, oh, Ed, you just need to talk to Dewey. I said, Dewey? He said, oh, yeah, it's an old mechanic that I have and you know, that we go way back. And so he gave me a name and number, and I drove my car to see Dewey, and Dewey went under there, and he laughed pretty good and said, wow, you must have like $5 of rubber bands on there, you know? I said, oh, about a buck and a half, but yeah. So he said, that's nothing. And then he said that you had a problem with the threading and the bolt. And he said he just went under there and got a self-threading bolt, I guess it was, and fixed it, you know. And I said, wow, that was amazing. What do I owe? He said, oh, you don't owe me anything. That was just, I'm glad to do it. Help a Bible school student out. It's not really an expensive fix anyway. And all of a sudden, I'm driving away from there and didn't have to pay a thing. But what did I have? I wanted $480, and the Spirit showed me rubber bands. He's going to guide you into all truth. He might show you something that doesn't make sense to you necessarily. He might have you pursue a relationship to love somebody and care for somebody that will in some way turn around and bless you in a different way that you don't even know. He's a person. You think of how Jesus operated. He was going to go into, Peter was asking him about the taxes. And Peter said, well, go fishing. And take the first fish that comes up and pay the taxes with that. Now, that would be strange. I got to pay taxes and I'm going to go fishing. He went fishing. Sure enough, the first fish that came up had a coin in its mouth. Now, there's a lot of ways you could get a coin to a person. What does that show, though? It shows the leading of the Holy Spirit. Again, we can miss the supernatural because we're looking for the spectacular. When we pray, when we're walking with the Holy Spirit, we've got to be willing to listen, to let His voice through, and be open to that. And I would say this too, have a pencil and paper, have your phone, have something to record what you're getting in your heart. Because I'll tell you what, when you capture what you're getting in your heart, and you esteem that, God gives you more. When you begin to listen and have ears to hear what He's saying. Because I've done that many times why do I say it emphatically like this? Because I've gotten this wrong many times until I've really learned this. Why? What happens? You get this amazing word, this amazing thought, and you go, wow, that is cool, that is great, that is life-changing, I'm never going to forget that. And later that afternoon, you're going, what was that the Lord said? We're human. It's easy for us to forget things. God is present. He's here. He's now. Just as though Jesus was present in the flesh. He is that real. He is that present. I can sing and experience His presence. I can get words. I can get excited. I can experience the joy in the Holy Spirit. But whether I experience Him or not, He's with me. And He's in me. Living with an awareness that I'm not just walking in the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm walking with the Holy Spirit. It's because I'm walking with the Spirit that I can walk in the Spirit. I'm just wanting to try to get this across. I'm just coming at this from a personhood angle. You're walking with the person of God. God is living in you. God is living in you. Now, I don't say that to say, shame on you. You should always be feeling this emotional, intimate. We don't. And you want to know what? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And if you always had to have this heavy, this feeling of God all the time, that would be a heavy yoke. Our feelings can't handle that 24/7. This is not a feeling yoke. It's a faith yoke. We walk by faith and not by sight. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of whether what I'm feeling from him, these things are true. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. He is in me all the time. If I fail, he is there to remind me. Fear, depression, shame, and confusion, you have to bow. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. That Holy Spirit is a person who witnesses to truth in a powerful way, shows you things to come, is there to guide you. You have an anointing from the Holy One. You know all things. The anointing which you've received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you. Same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, you will abide with him. Now, John put this in here. He said regarding those that would try to deceive him. Now, we still need teachers. God put teachers in the body of Christ to teach us. But I can tell you this. Anything you've learned from a teacher, from God, that's right. The reason why you know it's true is because the anointing in you bears witness that it's true. There's a knowing. You go, yep, that's right. That's it. That's good. That's God. That's like what his word says. There's a witness of the Spirit, a familiarity that you get with his voice. I'm telling you what, follow that. I wasn't planning to say this. Follow the peace of that anointing. I don't care how spiritual somebody says they are or comes at you and insists, you've got to do this, you've got to say this, you've got to think this way, you've got to be. You always have the right and the freedom to check your own heart before you have to do or say or engage in anything. You are led by the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that? Is that the next scripture I've got here? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit has been sent to lead and guide you into all truth. It's part of the lordship of Jesus Christ. You always have the freedom and the ability to check in on the inside to say, do I buy that? Is that right or is that wrong? Everything I'm saying should be judged. Scriptures, are they divided right? Are they? You always have that freedom. I think Paul went to Berea and he said, man, they took the things that we said and they searched the scriptures to see if what we said was so or not. He said they were noble. He didn't feel insecure that they were, you know, fact-checking him. He loved it. He said, good job. The Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit is precious to the lordship of Jesus Christ. God loves you. People can look at you. They could size you up. They could locate you spiritually, what you know and what you don't know. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He knows what you know. He knows what you don't know. And he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. And the truth in love is what will cause you to grow. A lot of times when people get pulled off into cults and different things like that, a lot of times what they'll go after is your freedom to be led by the Holy Spirit. Your freedom to check in your own heart and make sure things line up with the Word of God. Make sure that there's a peace about that. Make sure that there is, you know, something's not off. Sometimes people can be saying the right thing, but it can be the wrong spirit. Remember, Paul was ministering one time, and he got this slave girl that was going around saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, come to show us the way to salvation. There is nothing theologically wrong with that statement. She was saying it over and over and over again, and finally the Apostle Paul said, the name of Jesus come out of her. It was a mocking, wrong spirit. It's not always just what how something theologically lines up, but you check the spirit of a thing. Is it right? Is that his voice? Jesus didn't just say, my sheep know my theology. He said, my sheep know my voice. There's a voice of the Lord. This is precious. This is part of him walking with you and in you, walking with the Holy Spirit, walking with the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm not just at house a Christian with my theology. I'm at house a Christian with the person of the Holy Spirit, God hand in hand walking with me. And I trust him. I trust his voice. I trust what he is showing me by his word and by his spirit. I have the freedom to check in. John said, I write these things in connection with those who are trying to deceive you. You need not that any man teach you. In that context, I don't have to be bullied by anybody's knowledge of the word. This is important. This is important for staying on track. Because this is where Jesus can start out one way, as my friend, he loves me, he's for me, and all of a sudden, well-meaning people with spiritual egos can get in the way. And all of a sudden, you went from a light yoke to a heavy yoke, and he didn't put it on you. You always have the freedom to check in. You always have the freedom to say, God, is this you? Lord, show me what to do. And I remember them telling this once. I heard this, I think it was a Bible school. Sometimes you don't always know definitively. Red light, green light. Sometimes it's like, I don't know what to do with this. You know what you can do? Put it on the back burner. Say, Lord, I'm not quite sure about this. There's some good sounding stuff to that, but some of it, I just don't get it. Lord, I pray that you bring it to the front burner. You show me what I need to know out of that. But I'm casting the care of this over on you. Show me what I need from that. Because sometimes people, they're like me and you. Sometimes we can get our humanity in there a little bit too. But this is an important part of walking with the Holy Spirit. You're walking with a person. You're walking with somebody who's like Jesus. And you can be listening on the inside. You can keep that yoke light. Keep it light. He is an anointing that abides in you. I love that. I will say this. When I was kind of, when I first, you know, really started walking with God, I got kind of mixed up in some theology that was not good, okay? Just put it that way. Now, it's people have different views on different things. I'm not going to say, I would just say it's something that I look back on now and I think, you know, it was some end time stuff and my theological ego really got caught up in some things and I was just like, yeah. And so I'm trying to put this on my brother and my best friend who just got saved, like that year. You know, trying to get this, you know, to get them stirred up like I'm stirred up. And they're like, yeah, Ed, well, we're happy for you, Ed. I mean, I knew more scripture than they did, but they just weren't getting into it. I was like, man, why aren't they getting stirred up into this? I mean, I was part instrumental in leading them to the Lord, and, you know, you'd think I'd have the influence. But they were happy for me. They weren't debating me. They weren't fighting me over it. They just wanted to play their guitar and worship Jesus, you know? It's like, okay, well, that's all right. Your baby Christianity, my mature stuff, and my deep things in the Lord and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, through the course of time, probably, you know, within 6-8 months, all of a sudden I begin to see, oh, my goodness, this is just a heavy yoke. I'm just in my spiritual ego. It's just so, oh. And I remember just kind of making that theological adjustment and being free again. You know, but I remember thinking, Lord, will you know, my brother and best friend, they never got caught up in that. They had an anointing that abided within them. It's not that they had to be rude or reject me or anything. They were just going with what the anointing was showing them. You know, in this case, I was the bad guy. But it's not that we're good guys or bad guys. We're sincere. We're doing what we know to do. But you got to stay with the spirit of truth. Power, love, a sound mind, that light yoke. He's not going to heavy out and stuff. It's important to make sure the voice, the things that we're following after is God. And make sure that filter. Sometimes we'll say, you know, they're kind of talking without a filter. We have a filter. We don't just have a filter for what we say, but we've got a filter for what's coming at us. We've got a filter of the Holy Spirit that we can say, Holy Spirit, is that right? Is that good? Where is that in the Word? Thank God. That's the person of the Holy Spirit showing us things. And sometimes we don't always know exactly theologically, but we can follow peace. And if we don't know, praise God, we don't have to go in that sense. So finally, there's a ministry of strength of the Holy Spirit. And This is where it is powerful to experience the person of the Holy Spirit and to experience his strength. These are just a couple scriptures. There's some really good prayers throughout the New Testament as it relates to the Holy Spirit. This is one that the Apostle Paul prays. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Paul's saying, I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you wish. Now, this is a lot of times when we think of the power of the Holy Spirit, a context that I've preached from here quite a bit about what it means to walk in the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. But again, this is important where when we're believers, a lot of times we think, I'm a Christian, I'm trying to live for God, I'm weak, I can't do this, I'm just one of those that can't do this. No, you're just like everybody else. Nobody can do this. If you could do this apart from the Spirit of God, the law would have worked. If all you needed was willpower and good intentions and perfect instruction, the law would have worked. It didn't work. Why? The weakness of flesh. But now we've got something. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. We can walk in the Spirit. When we begin to walk with the Spirit, we begin to experience the power of the Spirit. You know, when you walk with somebody and you really let them into your life, you let their influence into your life. All of a sudden, you can start to like some of the things they like and maybe not like some of the things they don't like. Influence begins to have an impact when you let someone in your life. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, the influence of the person of the Holy Spirit begins to affect your life. It's like, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit's holy. I know what he likes. I know the way he is. I know, you know, when you begin to walk with him, you begin to hear his voice and walk with him. There is an influence and a power of the Holy Spirit that begins to change what you like. Have you ever, I like what that scripture says in the Bible. It says, flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh, contrary one to the other, so that you don't do the things that you wish. There's two you's in there. That you don't do the things that you want to do. You. Well, there's a flesh side of you, but there's that Spirit side of you. The more you begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, man, the influence on the you that wants to do the right thing. That is the most powerful, amazing thing. Because what he says, you know, in Romans, he's saying, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. You know, it's like, come on. Why can't I live right? You can't on the strength of your will. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will? I need something. Something bigger than the strength of willpower. The power of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. I can use my free will and choose to walk in the Spirit, but it's kind of like flipping a light switch. All you need is mustard seed faith to switch a light switch. But what that thing can switch on is huge. You can do anything with just the mustard seed faith to flip a light switch. The point isn't the strength, human strength, to flip that switch. You're using willpower to flip a switch. Mustard seed faith to go in a direction. And it's the direction of a person. So when all of a sudden you're struggling with something and you experience the power of the Spirit, it's not like, I shouldn't do that. He literally removes the desire for it. It's like, I don't want that. I can see through it. I can see how it's just trying to play me. It's just trying to use me. It doesn't even like me. It's just trying to stir up something. I see through it. The Holy Spirit, the person, is helping me see things. And it's not like I see it. We see it. We see through it. There's a companionship in his strength to live right. And it's like, oh, thank you, God. Man, that thing has gotten me before. Not today. Because there's an influence. There's a power of the Holy Spirit. He is there. The person of the Holy Spirit is there to help you live right. This is why you think, now, if Jesus, think of yourself being tempted by something, and Jesus is right there in the flesh next to you. Be like, oh, okay, all right. Hi, Jesus. Yeah. The more of a revelation that we have the person of the Holy Spirit. There is a revelation. It's not just like, you shouldn't do that. The strength of the Holy Spirit. That's what the scripture says. The flesh has lust, simply means strong desire against the Spirit. The Spirit has strong desire against the flesh. Have you noticed that? The flesh hates the things of the Spirit, but the Spirit is strongly opposed to the things of the flesh. Oh, it's amazing when you get that strength. Religious morality in of itself, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, can't do it. But the power of the Holy Spirit sees through it, breaks the power of things, and it's like, yes, this is who I am, the new creation, being who I am, experiencing that strength. There is a living right that comes from the influence of walking with the Holy Spirit. Also loving people. Here's probably the other big thing that we have to deal with. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is just another prayer of Paul. I pray that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen to this. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for what? Raising the dead, healing the sick, for patience and long-suffering with joy. Now, there is the power of God to heal the sick and raise the dead. This prayer is talking about the power of God for patience and long-suffering with joy. The person of the Holy Spirit has a strength to walk in love. Have you ever realized that? You can't walk in love on the strength of your personality. You might be able to go so far on the strength of personality in good-naturedness and all that, but you can't bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who, they don't just use you, they spitefully use you and persecute you. That takes Holy Spirit love. That takes Holy Spirit strength. These are things that we can pray. Lord, help me. I've had this happen. Let me show you how this can happen. You know, we've done these things right. We've done them wrong. Yes, I've had people say things, do things, and just get all stirred up. Other times, when I've prayed, and I'm walking with the Holy Spirit, you see, what does the word say? It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, except that which is good for the use of edification. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When corrupting, condemning, hateful words come out, the Holy Spirit has a role. He grieves. When I've said things like that, I can sense the Holy Spirit grieve. I thank God, not that I grieve him, but I thank God that he grieves so that I can get my heart and my words back in line again. He referees my words. Thank God that you're there to do that for me. But let me tell you this, that shoe works on the other foot too. When you're walking with him and you're sensing the companionship of the Holy Spirit and people are speaking words to you and speaking words that are corrupting at you, I've had that happen, and my first impression was like, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry you had to hear that. I can sense, he doesn't just grieve when corrupt communication proceeds out of your mouth. He grieves when corrupt communication is coming at you. And you can actually sense a grieving of the Holy Spirit that witnesses, sorry, I don't receive it. God is grieved by it. When you're walking close with an awareness of the Holy Spirit that you can actually sense his grieving, from things that other people are doing at you, there's a companionship in him walking with you that you know that, you know, okay, God is with me. He strengthened me for patience and long suffering with joy. Okay, it's okay, Ed. You can do this. You can get through this. They, you know, your flesh wants to witness with that in an angry way, but the Spirit will bear witness with that in a way that says, that's not me. That's not coming from me. Man, that's a powerful thing. When you're walking with the Holy Spirit and some things are coming at you that are not of him, you don't just know that it technically isn't of him. There's a presence of the Holy Spirit that says, nope, that's not me. There's a strength for patience. Finally, there's a strength to pray. Likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. For we don't know what to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's times where I'm just trying to figure out how to pray. You know what I loved a picture of? When the disciples were around Jesus, when you just think of the disciples being around Jesus, they were just fellowshipping with him. They were just talking to him. Now, I just want to distinguish between, I know in a technical sense, prayer is just talking to God. I get that. I agree. Prayer is talking to God. But When the disciples were with Jesus, it wasn't like they were praying. They were talking to him as a person, trying to understand, had questions, trying to understand. The Holy Spirit is a paraclete. He's another. He's been called alongside. Yes, we got to understand we can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We can talk to him, and he can help us to pray. All right? In other words, it's not like, am I praying or am I not praying? I can fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and he can help me in my weakness to know how to pray. I've had that happen. Like, Holy Spirit, how do I do this? How do I say this? Am I being honest? Am I, you know, I can just casually talk as though Jesus were here. Better that he left. Why? So that he could be here. In the person of the Holy Spirit, I can talk to him as a friend. I can talk to him as a person because he is a person and he lives in me. What is faith? It's believing that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let me say it this way. What is faith? It's believing that he is and believing that he is in you. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is believing he's in you because he is. What's he there? He's there to talk to pray about things. A lot of times we think of prayer and I got to have this perfect prayer. You can just chat with the Holy Spirit. Talk, and you say that's prayer talking to God. Yeah, you get it that. But there's a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And in the fellowship, he can actually show you how to pray and things to say, things to do. But to realize that, it's like, I gotta go before God in prayer. And I've got this prayer expectation. I can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He can help my weaknesses. I don't know how to pray as I ought. Holy Spirit, help me. Lead me. Guide me into all truth. The truth of what to say next, what to do next, how to pray. What am I just saying? God lives in you. The person of God lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a ministry of presence, guidance, strength, but he's there to walk with you. He's there to, you're never alone again. And again, I know this is a truth like any other truth. It can be stronger or weaker or more real or less real, but I sense in my spirit this morning the Lord wanting us to get stirred up again in the reality of this truth, that he's walking with you. Whether you miss it, whether you're doing great, whether you are, he's still with you. Omnipresent. You have his 100% attention. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for the fact that we can walk with the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, as we walk with you, that you lead us, that you guide us into all truth, that you're present in us, that you comfort us, show us things to come, help us to pray, give us the strength to do the right things. Give us the grace to forgive, to love, to see things from your perspective, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for your presence in our heart. And I just pray, Father, as we go from this place, that each one of us goes with that sense that you're with us, that you are in us. Father, we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. And remember, Jesus said, it's better for you, more advantageous that I go. In other words, he's saying, Ed, it's better that I'm living in you right now by the Holy Spirit than if I were with you in the flesh. You see, it could be 3 a.m. and I can talk to him. If he was there in the flesh and he was, you know, it would be different. And he could only be one place at one time in the flesh. I'd have to wait my turn. I don't have to wait my turn. He has unleashed his attribute of omnipresence on the inside of each one of us to give us his 100% full attention to walk with us. Let that sink in this morning. Grow in that reality. It's amazing. Praise God.